Hi, my name is Griffin Carpenter, and I am currently a bean cap student as well. I'm studying at the Soil and Crop Sciences Department, Colorado State University. And Mark Brick, Barry Ogg, Karen Cicci of Michigan State University, and I looked into a comparison of the visual seed coat luster and a recombinant inbred line of black beans. To begin, it's really important to notice that these photographs show that dry edible bean seed colors vary. Across the dry bean market classes, they also vary in shape and size as well. The dry bean market classes are important because they have differences in shape and size and color, as I stated before. In correlating this type of discussion, we must first think towards black beans, kidney beans, navy beans, and also pinto beans. They all share one characteristic, and that is that of the shininess or opaqueness of them. In this research project, we were mostly interested in the shininess and opaqueness of black beans. As you can see in these pictures, they are quite different. This difference is under control of a single dominant gene, which has been designated the ASP gene, or the Asprey allele. The Asprey allele influences pigment leaching, water uptake, and visual appearance of the canned product. This project was looking specifically at how this difference, especially visually, is important in the canning industry and the initial and final canned product. Commercially, seed coat luster determines canning properties. Shiny bean seed retains color better in the can. The opaque bean seed has faster water uptake, which influences canning and cooking properties. Shiny black beans are known in the industry, in the canning industry, to inhibit water uptake. Therefore, canners prefer opaque black beans as they will take up more water and look better as in the final product. It is important to understand the structural differences of the epicuticular shininess or opaqueness of the black bean seed. Essentially, this scanning electron micrograph shows three different layers. In the protection of the seed from damage, the hourglass cells act much like springs, and they actually protect the seed from compaction. In the next layer, the palisade cell layer, is in between the epicuticular wax layer. During the maturation process of the bean in the pod, a cutaneous wax is extruded through these palisade cells and it is distributed over the epicuticular wax or epicuticular cutin layer. As you can see from these scanning electron micrographs, there's a very large difference. In the shiny one on the left, it looks as though somebody buffed it, much like a shoe. But on the right-hand side, it looks almost as though it were snowdrifts or there's undulations and it's not as uniform. It's important to remember this, especially when thinking about how light interacts with how we visually appear these beans. Our research objectives were to compare water uptake of shiny and opaque recombinant inbred dry bean lines, also to compare pigment leaching and the soaking brine between shiny and opaque lines, and also determine associations between shiny and opaque bean seeds and the initial and final canning quality. Moving through the materials and methods, a recombinant inbred line or real population was sent to us by Karen Cicci over at Michigan State University. She developed a population which was a shiny crow, a shiny bean, crossed with a black magic opaque bean. 93 lines of this real population were derived, and they all showed differences of shininess and opaqueness. This seed was grown in East Lansing, Michigan. To begin, we evaluated each line for water uptake. The dry beans were weighed before and after soaking, and then they were after soaking, but they were placed in 50 milliliters of water, and they were distilled water, and they were soaked for 16 hours. The change in weight prior to and after soaking was considered water uptake. 25 seeds per line were put in each replicate, and each was evaluated for water uptake. Next, the pigment leaching, or anthocyanin concentration, was calculated and discerned using a method AOAC 2005.2, and this method was based on the spectrophotometer readings of two different pH values, a pH of 1 and a pH of 4.5. The spectrophotometer read absorbance values, and these values at the different pHs were then put into a calculation where the pH of 1 was used to discern whether or not lignified tissues and other carbohydrates and things change the values. So then we get a more ballpark range of the anthocyanin concentration. And these were reported in a standard cyanidin-3 glucoside equivalent in milligrams per liter. Karen Cicci provided us with data in the consumer acceptance of black peanut appearance. A scale of 1 to 7 was used, where 1 was the best and 7 is the best and 1 is the worst. This was simply the coloration or the visual appearance of the bean. A reported mean of 14 people observing the canned and washed and rinsed black beans also followed the same scale, where 7 was the best and 1 was the worst. And also, a Hunter L value was reported, in which 0 is more black and 1 being completely white. Essentially, it is a color scale where 1 being white would be completely clear and it would travel all the way through or be completely diffused, and 0 would be black. We used statistical analysis of the SAS program, and specifically a Pearson correlation coefficient matrix, to discern whether or not there was associations between shiny and opaque bean seed and essentially canning quality of the final product. Here's some pictures of us in the field where also this real population was planted so that more seed can be used to continue this process. So this table here shows the high and low range of water uptake simply across entries of the real population. A high percentage of 134% was reported compared to a low of 85%. Statistical variance show that unfortunately there was no significance between these, which is unfortunate because we have other sets of data that do prove this, but we have many thoughts and reasons why this happened. These mean water uptake values between simply the visual luster or opaqueness and shininess of the beans showed that the percent water uptake did not differ as much as we thought it would. We thought that the shiny would take up less water due to the epicuticular wax layer. Opaque simply took up a slight difference, but it's still very, very much the same as shiny, and that is not significant. A range in anthocyanin content pigment among entries was reported where there was a highly significant value where across entries there was difference. Every line differed completely between luster and water uptake. If you can look on the left-hand side, the darkness of the brine, which is what we took from the soaking, is much darker, and it correlates with the values of the anthocyanin content in milligrams per liter. So also we reported a mean anthocyanin content among these lines where similarly with the water uptake, there was no significance found in our correlations between the opaque luster and shiny luster. There was simply not as much difference as we thought there would be. So finally, we were trying to understand and correlate water uptake and canning properties. our visual rating scale from Karen Tsichi, and the L values and color appearance of a scale of 1 to 7 was compared with water uptake. Our appearance with water uptake was non-significant. As you can see, the value is -0.001. Our color value, which is simply 1 through 7 again, was very close to being significant with a p-value of 0.06, but it is still considered not significant. Our L value, however, which is the Hunter L value, is very highly significant in the fact that as the visual rating scale of the L value continually got closer to zero, more black, the water uptake of the brine was less. So it was significantly correlated. And finally, we use correlations between the anthocyanin pigment concentration and visual appearance. And we found that the appearance of the final canned product that Karen Tsichi looked at was not significant to the anthocyanin content that I reported. However, we did find that the color of the visual rating, which again, one being the best, or more black, was highly correlated with the significance of the p-value being less than 0.001. This proves that the visual look of the bean to the consumer was highly correlated with the content of the pigment in the bean seed and the seed testa itself. So in summary, our correlations showed that percent water uptake did not vary among entries or between seed coat luster. Also, our correlations showed that anthocyanin concentration of the soaking brine varied among entries, but not between the visual look or opaqueness or shininess of the black bean seed. Finally, the anthocyanin content was highly associated with both the canned bean seed color and the Hunter L values. In conclusion, what we decided was pretty much what happened was the quality of the seed that we received from Michigan State had either seed impaction or epicuticular cracks or some sort of damage to the seed. And that's why the pigments concentration still came out okay. But between the two different lusters, the water uptake values were very similar. And we think that the damage to the seed and the age of the seed was pretty much what caused this. So water uptake is still not a good predictor of canning quality in black beans. But what we have proved is that pigment leaching is an excellent predictor of canned black bean quality, especially because it's cheap, it's fast, and it's easy. Instead of having to hire a panel of people to look at the visual characteristics of the beans, you could easily just do this and find out essentially the end quality of your canned product without having to do the canning or have people visually look at them. I would love to acknowledge Colorado State University Agricultural Experiment Station, the Bean Cap, Mark Brick, Barry Ogg, Sony, and all of my peers at Colorado State University. And I'd like to say thank you for listening to my presentation. If you have any other questions, feel free to ask. Yes, sir.
I think you did a good job of keeping this simple so everybody can understand it. I was lost in one slide where you talked about anthocyanin content. You measured it two different patients. What was the reason for the two pH differences?
So your question is, why is there two pHs? Well, essentially, in anthocyanin pigment, there are structural R changes with different pHs, like in a hibiscus plant. If you plant a hibiscus plant in a pH soil, they'll differ, and the color of the actual flower will differ. It's because the anthocyanins change and revert into different forms because of different pHs. But pH 4.5 is associated with the lower or darker pigments of anthocyanins. That's why pH 4.5 is used. But pH 1 was used because when the light of the spectrophotometer is passing through the sample, there's other things inside of the bean that could change and alter it. So essentially, lignified tissue, carbohydrates, and other things in there will change the results. So in the calculation, that pH 1 value is essentially there to account for other things that could be in there, because we're not totally certain that anthocyanin pigments are the only thing that's in the actual brine.
Thank you, Griffin.
Appreciate it.
All righty.